You are now listening to the Bullseye podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. Sit back, get comfy, and keep all arms and legs inside the vehicle when in motion. And now, here is Josh, Peter, and Brian.
Well, good afternoon. It's January 19th. Anybody know what day that is?
Thursday.
Dolly Parton's birthday.
That's the more important part of that.
Yeah.
Brian, give us a little rendition of Jolene.
No one wants to hear that. And I wouldn't do that to Dolly on her birthday
anyway.
Don't
pretend like you weren't singing it before I hit record.
Well, who doesn't sing along to that song?
So it's Dolly's birthday. I saw that and I was like, wow, that's like a God thing, right?
Yeah.
Divine intervention that we're... So we made a post, you know, from our group wishing her happy birthday. And, you know, I'm just tagging her and everything. It's like, she'll see this. No, she won't.
She's working 9 to 5. There's no way that it's going to happen.
It'll be evening before she does.
I am well aware of how the system works. And I know that she has someone who... takes care of her social media accounts. I'm not stupid.
She has her own Josh Shores.
Yes, she does. She's probably way more qualified. Not as good looking, but way more qualified. But you never know. You never know, right? Just tag. It's like, Dolly, we talk about you on the show all the time. Really great things. I'd hate to have to start saying bad things. So
we'll fire Josh before we start saying bad things.
A good birthday threat, right?
Yeah. Nothing better. No better way to get your point across than a good birthday threat.
Happy birthday. I hope you make it to your next one.
Oh, so she's 77, if I read that correctly. 77.
Okay, yeah, I think that's right.
That's wild.
Yeah.
And she's just like a ball of energy.
She has more energy than I do, for sure.
Yeah. I just listened to her on an interview, and I was tired.
Well, she's doing TV shows and everything right now.
Releasing songs with Jimmy Fallon. She got inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and wrote a rock song specifically for her induction, which was pretty
amazing. That is cool.
Pretty amazing.
Well, here's to you, Dolly. Cheers.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday from the Bullseye podcast team. AFI Advisors.
We're putting it out into the universe. It's all coming back.
Oh, my gosh. Whose phone is that?
That might have been mine. Sorry about that. It vibrated.
Peter, you're fired.
It happens. Better that it vibrates than it just goes off with Star Wars music to piss you
off.
That's true. Yeah. Well, we're 2 minutes in, I got my segment out of the way.
Done and done.
We have serious things to
talk
about.
Yeah, well, this is what concerns me, right? So I never want it to be like too big of a control thing as far as what we talk about. But usually I'm just a little more in the loop than I am today.
When you usually reel us back a little bit saying, let's not talk about this thing.
So when Brian came in here earlier and just like slammed down this piece of internet that he's printed, I was like,
I made this.
I was like, I don't know what any of those things are, but let's roll with it.
Well, that's probably a good thing.
Evidently, there's a debit ceiling.
We are not going around and sealing debits.
Is that how you say it? Debit?
Debit ceiling. The debt ceiling.
Debt ceiling. I knew I was reading that wrong. I didn't sound right. Yeah. Debit ceiling.
So we have hit the max of our borrowing as a country, as of today.
Oh Lord, I knew it was. Is this one of the signs?
Like no, it happens
like
every
Jesus
now and
coming
now.
Back yeah. signs.
No, like Peter said, it happens every now and then. It happened a few years ago. When was that? 2019.
Yeah.
So explain to us what that means.
So Congress sets a limit on how much we as a country can borrow.
Collectively.
So, and it's become a negotiation tactic a lot of times. And it's been raised 100 times over the course of our history as a country.
Hmm.
And so it's always this fight of fiscal conservatives saying we shouldn't spend more. We should live within our means. versus the reality of the situation of saying, look, we've already spent it and we already have committed to it. And if we don't raise the debt ceiling, which is just an artificial limit that we've put in, it's not like the credit card company is saying you only have X amount to go, but we can, through extraordinary measures, by basically not paying some stuff. You know, it's kind of like when I can make rent still, but if I put the TV bill on hold and things like that, that will take us out till about June. And the big concern, and one of the reasons why we've seen a little bit of a sell-off in the market the last few days about this, is we run out today. And with what we saw with the Speaker of the House nomination, there's a concern that Speaker McCarthy doesn't have enough power in the House to actually get this debt ceiling raised, which would be catastrophic. If we got out to June 30th, that's the real date that we're worrying about. And at that point, Social Security checks don't go out, post office stuff
goes
out, veteran benefits, yep. Nothing, because we don't have the money.
Now, would have probably stopped paying for treasuries too, right?
Yeah, everything kind of shuts down. The government has no money to function. So it becomes this negotiating tactic of, here, I'm going to wield the apocalypse against you unless you give me what I want. And depending upon who's in power at any given time, we either see hardballs, you know, type tactics, or everybody kind of agrees, like, we don't want to have that fight this year. We got other things that we're worrying about. So, like, when we're dealing with COVID issues, they raise the debt ceiling, you know, without issue, because if we're going to promise trillions of dollars to get people through the pandemic, we're not going to not pay that because of a debt ceiling. So there's some arguments that the debt ceiling itself should be abolished. But the last time we went through this was the first time that the quality and credit of the United States government was dropped. We had a downgrade of our debt. So you'd think about it being a triple A debt, meaning it's pretty much guaranteed. Not so if we default.
Is there any correlation, or are these two separate things, between like the debt ceiling and our national debt? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm trying to say?
Sort of. Yeah. So our overall national debt is everything that we owe. But there's some differences in the underlying calculations. So it's a little bit what's been promised under what categories and when it has to get paid. But everything that is in there, we've already voted to spend.
And that's the part that really gets me.
Yeah, the current debt has already been spent. But we voted to spend this money.
We voted to spend the money, and then we're voting maybe to not pay it.
Right.
So it seems backwards.
Yeah. The national debt doesn't go up until we actually spend the money.
Gotcha. I see.
But our commitment level goes up as soon as Congress sets its budget. So if they put in there that we're going to spend, I don't know, $200 million on paving an Air Force base, something like that, as soon as we commit to that, that's going against our debt ceiling,
which is right now $31.4 trillion.
Right. But the national debt's in the 22 trillion
That's
range or something
thinking.
Like that.
It's a race. It's a race.
So it also, you know, part of it depends
on. Have
you
all not seen that movie?
Yeah, no, it's yeah, okay. I've seen that one.
Yeah, it's funny, Josh.
Okay, thank you.
You were weaning.
This is all I can contribute to this right now.
So yeah, that's kind of the problem, is that it's an artificial problem that we're choosing to have a fight about. And because of all the concessions that Speaker McCarthy had to give to get the speakership, you know, one member of Congress can now call for a vote to replace him. You used to have to get a coalition of five.
So it's essentially a bargaining piece for political power agenda in some way, shape, or form.
So we've got about 20 members of the Freedom Caucus, which is the, I guess, more right portion of the Republican Party, who are very much, you know, and part of the problem, and whether it's, you know, the extremes on the left or the extremes on the right, my big concern is these people don't know what they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. You know, because let's say you were a tremendous, you know, farmer, and you built a big farm corporation and everything else, and then you use that wealth to run for office, you become a House of Representative member, you may have zero experience with the global economy, with the U.S. economy. You just know, hey, we shouldn't be spending the way we are. And you vote a hard line saying we shouldn't spend, and then you collapse the system. And so to me, that's part of the problem, is we get all these people from different walks of life with different biases, and we're playing with something that ought not to be played with.
Which they could be brilliant. It's just not out of their expertise.
Out of their expertise. It'd be like me walking into a surgery center and saying, nope, you can't use that scalpel.
Too expensive.
Yeah. Really.
Yeah. And if you want to lose faith in the world really quickly, watch one of their hearings on Capitol Hill. Yeah. When Zuckerberg was up there, one of the congressmen asked him how to turn on his own computer. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean,
so yeah.
It's bad.
I feel, and again, part of me is, you know, a tad ignorant with some of the depths of this, but isn't there any kind of accountability as far as like consultation between them and people who actually know what they're talking about? Like,
it's not required.
Okay.
It sounds nice.
You would think
that just
that
seems
it
like
exist.
It'd be a common sense thing.
A no brainer. I mean, yeah.
Right. You would
if
hope,
I don't know how to, I got elected, I don't know how to do this, I'm going to hire somebody who does.
And listen to them. It's totally okay if you don't know how to do something because no one really knows how to do everything.
Right.
So what's, I don't know what the problem would be, you know, asking for help.
Well, part of the problem is in this case, the expert is Janet Yellen, former Fed chair who's now the Treasury Secretary. And because she was appointed by a Democrat, there's a large portion of people who will not listen to anything that she says. So she will testify in front of Congress, and she just has here recently and said, hey, this is what we're facing. This is the problem. This is how we need to fix it, X, Y, Z. And they can ask any questions they want. And the same thing happens when Republicans in power, the Treasury Secretary. So I guess Hank Paulson and Mnuchin was there. He would get grilled. And the problem is too many people go in with a closed mind and say, you're on the other side. I don't care what you say because it can't be true. And it happens on both sides and it's awful. And that's okay if we're dealing with whether or not to, you know, fund this small program or whatnot. But when we're messing with, you know, our national debt and with our debt ceiling.
And people's livelihoods. I mean, veteran benefits are a huge thing. The amount of money that people are getting from treasuries is supplementing their lifestyles.
I've always, and this could be maybe a touchy subject for some people. I don't think it is, personally, but, you know, everything kind of evolves as we grow, as our country grows, as, you know, people get diverse. And do you... Why do we still have Democrats and Republicans? Why do we need that?
Money. That's it really is all about the money.
Because I feel like we can't truly have what we feel like we're wanting to have when there's such strong titles of division between the two. And you've got people, and this is why I don't ever talk about politics, but I mean, you've got people who will swear that they hate Democrats or swear that they hate Republicans, but cannot tell you why.
I think what you said, though, is really true. It's the title, because if you go back in time, Republicans were Democrats and Democrats were Republicans, and their belief systems were different. But I've always voted Republican. My family's always voted Democrats. So, like, Republicans a lot of times will point to Abraham Lincoln was a Republican. If you go back and look at a lot of his policies, today they would be considered Democrat.
Oh, my God.
A lot of people go back and point to Ronald Reagan as the best Republican president, you know, of recent times. He raised taxes. We've never, you know, but which a Republican today will not vote to raise taxes. So it goes all the way back to the start. George Washington warned us that a party system was a bad thing, and then we immediately put in a party system. Hamilton and the Federalists versus Jefferson and the Democratic Republicans. And we've had different parties, Whigs, conservative, libertarians. They just have never gotten enough power.
I'm a huge fan of the Bull Moose Party,
personally. Yeah. Bull Moose, there you go.
There you go.
Pulling out that high school poli sci. So it's just, I think it's one of those things that it always goes back. But, you know, the second one of these people is elected, they have to start raising money to be reelected.
Yep.
And so upwards of hundreds of thousands of dollars almost a day to get reelected. And so the money is the problem. I think if you put term limits in, it would help a big part of that. It would eliminate it to a certain extent. But we've got career politicians who go in, and they'll go in, you know, they were averaging $75,000 in their day job, and they come out of Congress millionaires.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that shouldn't happen either.
The insider trading sort of thing is crazy. But the thing is if you put any two people in a room, there's going to be a more liberal person in that room and a more conservative person in that room. I think it is natural for people to fall one side or the other. I think as Americans, we're a lot more similar than if you compared us to the rest of the world. You know, we look at Democrats or Republicans and think, hey, those are the enemy, when they're actually a lot more similar to us than any party on any other country.
No, I think you're right. I think if you were to take those titles and everything that comes with it out of play, I think people would find a lot more similarities than what they realize.
There's more common ground than there are differences.
Yeah. And I've just never – it's one thing I can never really wrap my head around. I don't know why that's still – you know, our methods. I don't know
why.
Well,
and it's their job to figure out how to get over these conflicts and messing with interests, but they just don't do it.
With the way it's come about, we also have, you know, I think Dan Crenshaw is a pretty good example. So he's got a pretty big presence. He's a Texas Republican.
Oh, I've seen him.
Yeah, he's a former
times.
Navy SEAL, mm-hmm. has the eye patch.
He's very, like...
If you look at his voting record, he is... in line, something like 96-97%.
Mm-hmm.
They chopped up his district because he wasn't conservative enough. And so, you know, that's kind of the problem that we have, is that we are being held hostage by the extremes.
Yeah.
That, and the
and
people
so if
that...
we could tell them to go away, and maybe we have a 20% super liberal, 20% super conservative, but we've got 60% in the middle that all get along, then you could potentially have a system that would work better. But
and we're also hoping that they do a great job regulating themselves.
Yeah, that's always a
you know, the one
success.
Thing that's definitely bipartisan is giving themselves raises.
Happens every time.
Every time. No issue.
Okay, well, this is getting depressing.
Yes.
I just have one question. I need to get gas on the way home. Am I going to be able to use my credit card or not?
Your credit will still be fine.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Never mind.
Until you run out of money.
Or you run into your debt ceiling.
Okay, I didn't know. We're fine then.
Gas has come down. It's starting to creep back a little bit. But, you know, I think I paid $2.75 the other day.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
I was really excited when it went back below $3. So.
Yeah.
Which feels weird saying.
I tried to fill up Kate's van the other day, and I don't know what was going on with the pump, but you could literally count 3 seconds between each cent going up. And it was one of those ones, almost out by the time I got the van over there. So it's like, all right, well, I got to at least put $5 worth in.
To get to another gas station.
To get to another gas station further away. But it was just click, click, click. And so the guy next to me who was pumping was like, is your pump going slow? I was like, it's unbelievably slow. So whatever was going on there just drove me nuts. But I hate slow gas pumps. I know it's more efficient for your car, that if you pump the gas slowly, you get less air vapor and all that car stuff that Josh probably knows. But I don't know. You know, I'd rather just pump it quickly and get out of
there. Was it if you fill up your gas tank in the summer, you get less gas mileage than in the winter because of how dense the fuel is?
Yeah, yeah.
Bam, and car fact.
And they also talk a lot, too, about filling up early in the mornings when it's cooler. Before the heat kicks in. Yeah. I don't know if those make a big enough difference to go out of your way to do those things.
I love the people who will drive 2 or 3 miles up the road to save a penny on gas. I'm like, you probably cut into your
savings there a little bit. Okay, well, we can check off the debit ceiling, Brian. So what's going on in the world of student loan forgiveness? So this thing came on like a rushing wind and it caught the nation, and everybody was lit up and excited, or they were extremely upset and mad. And then it just kind of disappeared again. So what's going on with it?
It's in a massive legal battle.
Oh, shocker.
Yeah,
no one saw that coming.
So similar to the debt ceiling, nobody can agree on anything. And so originally we were going to forgive the debt, and then the payments were supposed to start back in January. And so if your debt was forgiven, you wouldn't have to pay. So they were really encouraging applications to come in. Then it got into the legal system. And so what they've ended up doing is delaying again the payment restart. But we have no idea whether or not this thing's going to make it out of, you know, lawsuits.
Hmm.
So it's just – it's unfortunate because you're putting people's lives on hold for this. So I'm always one of these people. It's like, I don't understand why it takes so long.
Yeah.
It's like everybody knows the players in the room. Everybody knows the, you know – the facts, get them in there, make a decision, let people move on. But that's just not – Robert has educated me that the legal system takes time on purpose to make sure that it's done right. But it's very,
doesn't seem
very
like it works out every time.
That also sounds like a very lawyer-y thing
to
say.
It was the definition of what Robert would say. But the thing is the repayment clock will either start 60 days after the department is allowed to implement the program or 60 days after June 30th, whichever one comes first.
Or they'll change the rules.
Or they'll change it all together, and
so,
it'll be some other number.
But are you saying there's a chance?
There is a
that
chance.
That people may not get their loans forgiven.
There is a chance.
There is a chance.
Wow. That would just, God.
Yeah.
People will be, that'll be
if
terrible.
You were planning
people,
on
people
it.
People will be burning mattresses. And
so is
just,
it, are we waiting on the Supreme Court to decide if the legality of implementing the program?
It's gone through so many different iterations where some of the states said it would affect their system.
Yeah.
Some people on different grounds have contested it. I think it's on its way to the Supreme Court. But it's definitely one of those ones that it's unfortunate the way it's played out.
Here's my and I have no dog in this race because my student loans are paid for. But my initial fear, I think, is I know how I am, just as a normal human, and I'm not everyone would do this, but my guess is there's a lot of folks that filled out that online application thinking this is a done deal. Done deal,
yeah.
Right? And so in their head, they've automatically
mentally spent
that money somewhere else, and they may be physically spending it by now, and that's going to be hard, I think, for people, because when you talk about amounts of that much, I mean, if it's couple hundred bucks a month, $400 a month, you think, well, what falls in that range? Well, usually maybe like a car payment or stuff like that. Not stuff that's easy just to get off your books. Like,
right.
You can't just quickly just be done with it.
Yeah.
So,
and they've not had to pay any of this in a while, too.
Yeah.
Prices have gone up since this happened. You know, they're going to get hit. They have the inflation going on, and now they're going to have to start paying their payments
again. I'm sure everyone's not going to fall into that category, but
people are going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's essentially
what I really hadn't thought about the fact, with inflation, the overall numbers are coming down, but there's certain areas that are going up, and the areas that are going up are affecting this demographic more. So if we were to look at food, which was up 10% in December compared to December the previous year, part of that being eggs, part of that being the fact that, the bird flu is wiped out a huge portion of our chickens.
Where did the egg thing come from?
Bird flu.
Okay,
they literally had
to
wipe out a large amount of the chickens.
Really?
Yeah. So
I've been seeing everyone talking about it. It's like when you guys were asking, do you have anything to talk about? I was like, well, no, not really. Evidently, eggs are really expensive right now. Well,
you got that egg money now. Yeah.
Peter and I were talking to a gentleman earlier who raised chickens, and apparently it takes a couple years before they really start. Was it?
So he said
6 months until they started having an occasional egg.
And then you got 2 good years of laying eggs after that, and the third it tailed off. Done. And so, it's one of those things that
so it could be a while.
A while, if and I don't know what percentage of the flocks were eliminated, but it was a large number of chickens had to be put down. So, it's definitely affected it. it's one of those ones that it'll take a while for us to bounce back into that. But
what you were saying earlier, it does affect this demographic quite a bit more. I mean, we all have to buy food, but that's right. a lot higher of a percentage
of
income for the people that fall in this demographic that are paying back their student loans right now.
Yeah. I have noticed now that food's gotten quite expensive.
We used to be able to spend about $40 to $60 a week on groceries, and that's we're not increasing our intake, but it's closer to 100 now.
Yeah, and I've said before too that I've always never really paid as much attention to it, and that's not because I've got tons of money. It's just because
was it you say can't hide money?
No, it's just because I know what we usually get. We're very predictable in what we get,
yeah.
and I'd usually know where that lands, you know, plus or minus $10. So, but I have noticed as of late, it's significantly more. So I've started eyeballing individual right. things, and I'm like, oh my God.
I can only imagine what you and your son's groceries list actually looks like.
It's
when Twizzlers are a staple and...
I mean, we get some weird stuff, but
we had toaster strudels for dinner for three nights in a row.
Toaster strudels are good.
11 eats Eggos on Stranger
That's
Things.
Right.
So,
That's
know,
right.
For everything. No, but you got energy bills going
yeah,
up.
Everything.
You know, some of that's jumped $200 for people. So you throw
Insurance,
it all together, and
yeah.
then, oh, now you have to start paying your student loan back too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what I think will be fascinating is we are just starting the third year of a presidential cycle, which means we're about a year out before the next congressional races really kick out. And so there's a chance that you don't want to be on the wrong side of this next year.
Right.
But
yeah.
I can fight about it this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it could be interesting if we get out to next year and it's still up in the air and you're worried about an attack ad coming in saying in either direction, you know, and you got a way, if you want to get reelected, hey, I'm going to give those people that money for their student loans, or no, I said on my principles they shouldn't. Well, you might lose a large portion of your demographic, and how does that change mm-hmm. the race?
Oof.
It's going to be interesting next year, I think.
Yeah. I didn't even really, you know, put that into play, but you're right. I could see.
It's easy to fight now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
people
because there's not – yeah, you've got enough time in between that, you know, yep. you can cloud all that up. Wow. Okay, well,
we'll have all sorts of, like, uplifting stories to talk about today.
Yeah, this
yeah. – Well, next week we'll try to be a little bit more chipper and happy.
It's like
– come up with something fun.
We started out on such a high note, and then we're just running it into the ground.
I told you we needed to end with your segment.
I don't think people would have made it to the end.
If you made it to the end, please email Dolly Parton to connect at AFI. We'll send you a drink koozie once we get them.
Yeah,
there you go.
So we've got just a couple of minutes. Do you guys want to spit talk really quick about your robot chatting platform?
My new favorite topic.
It's super cool. I'll let Peter talk about it a bit more.
So there's a company called OpenAI. And so they started off as a not-for-profit. We're going to explore artificial intelligence for the betterment of man type company. Now they're a for-profit company because it's expensive. And so what they've done is they've fed their artificial intelligent algorithm billions upon billions of articles and documents, and all sorts of data has gone into this. Very similar to what Siri and Alexa do for your phones and everything else, except 1,000 times past it. And then what they did here within the last, what, 3 months now, maybe?
Something.
It's
in there.
They opened it up to the public. And so they're beta testing this to the public. So you can go, as long as you have an account, it's a Google account, or you can sign up.
I will say, if you try to do this, don't do the Android app, because they do charge you for that. If you just go online, it's free.
Free. And you can go in, and it's an AI that will spit back out information that you can't believe. So the example I've given a lot of people is you can put in there, please write me a 5,000-word essay on name your topic. We could say the debt ceiling. And within 2 minutes, basically, it will give you a 5,000-word essay on the debt ceiling.
And the cool part is if you run that through a plagiarism thing at ETSU or a college, it's going to come back with about 2% plagiarism, where if we were to write a completely original paper, it'd be in the 20s to 30s.
Just on its own. Now, they are starting to combat that because now they're getting AI into the plagiarism checkers to be like, hey, another AI had to have written
this. But it's so impressive. Like,
but you can do it for a lot of different things. And then you can take that same 5,000-word essay and say, please focus on this topic, or please make this with a more Southern dialect. Please make it written as if Shakespeare wrote it. You can do things in Excel. There's people who are plugging their computer code into it and saying, I'm getting this error, fix it. And the AI is shooting back out, change line 74 to this string of letters or whatever it is.
I've used it with helping people build resumes, with figuring out how to write an email that may be a little bit more difficult, or having a conversation with somebody I wanted to know what they would maybe say back to me.
And so I have it open at the office all day long just because there's stuff that I constantly have a question about. And instead of going to Google and getting four advertisements across the top and then getting thousands of web pages after that, it just gives me an answer.
And it's going to be even better when they update it to where it's pulling directly from the internet.
Yeah, right now it doesn't pull from the internet. It's all just the data that it has. There's some restrictions. Their data only goes to like 2021. So if you asked it who won the Super Bowl last year, it wouldn't have it, that type of stuff. It won't make predictions on the stock market. But what it will do is take fed a financial report into it and said, please summarize in 10 bullet points. And it's taken, you know, a multi-page article and shot me back something that, because I'm aware of what was already in there, I'm getting the high-level points. And then if I feel like I need to dive deeper, I can. And so for me, I use it for a lot of different things. And then there's all the fun stuff that you can do.
Oh,
so,
absolutely. Peter and I almost exclusively text using AI now.
Because it's so much funnier. So, if I wanted to tell Brian he did a good job at the office today with a particular client, I could type in, please write a text to Brian saying you'd done a good job, but in the style of Yoda. And it will shoot me out something in Yoda-ese, and then I can send him a Star Wars text.
He's done this, by
the way. Yeah, we have.
It's fun.
So we can do all sorts of stuff. My boys love it. So, and Nolan might like this. What I'll do is, like, if let's say we're going to read a bedtime story, right? And I'll say, give me a weird topic that you want to hear about. And they'll be like, we want a story about aliens who eat bananas in the depths of Mars, and they whatever weird thing that they can come up with. And I'll type it in. Please write me a bedtime story that will last 3 to 5 minutes. And then I put in what they tell me. And it will shoot out an original. Now, if I put that exact same prompt in, it will give me the exact same result. But if you vary it a little bit, it'll go. So,
or you can say, oh, I like that, but the alien's name's Johnny. And right. It'll change it to where it now says Johnny in there.
I'm going to have to explore this. I don't know enough about it to comment on it correctly, so I'm going to have to explore it.
It's coming. I think it's going. Microsoft just gave them $10 billion. And it's coming. It's going to integrate into so many applications, and we're probably not even going to be aware of it.
Yeah.
And that's a little scary, but I do think it's one of those things that you're going to have to know your stuff. There's biases in these programs. So if you ask it whatever question you ask it, it will come back with the average response. So the example I've given a lot of people.
So like Wikipedia.
Right, a little bit. But in that and I'm not saying this, pro or con. It's just an easy example, all right? If you asked it to write you a love story, it's going to write it between a man and a woman because the bulk of the information fed to it has love stories between men and women. So it's assuming that's what you want. You have to tell it if you want something different than the norm. And so it has those inherent biases in it just because the data is biased, in whatever fashions. Now, we've seen some people who have been like, and I've even looked at them and like, yeah, no, that's wrong. But that's, it'll shoot. So you have to know, you have to verify. But one thing, I was showing this to somebody the other day. And I was like, please give me 30 topics to talk about on a daytime talk show that would be of interest to women between the ages of 40 and 60 residing in the southern states. And it shut it out for me. And the person was like, those are the things that we talk about on Daytime TV.
That's
well,
cool.
Well, there you have it.
It's coming. People have written textbooks
about
it.
Robot brains. It's coming. Yeah, coming so you, for you.
So you better be with the bet. You're going to have to be able to. It's kind of like a calculator, it's a tool. So yeah. The people who are able to use those tools efficiently and early in the process are going to have a leg up.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we better get off here then. I gotta go play with these
go
robot
get your
brains.
Leg up, huh?
Go play with these robot brains, see what I'm missing. Be first to it.
Robot brain. What is
it? It's amazing how quickly it spread.
Dear robot brain, write me something about the debit ceiling.
It'll come back, Josh. Did you mean the debt ceiling? Would you like to play a game?
I'm sorry, Josh. I cannot do that.
Right.
Well, it will tell you. I will say, I do want to point out, it won't tell you how to make a bomb. There's topics that they've labeled as inappropriate.
Yeah.
You know, so what was the one that you gave me the other day?
How to ask your boss if you can leave early to go have a beer. And it told me no. It said that that's what? Too unprofessional, that it's not going to do that. So I had to go ask in person. The answer was no, but...
But if you had changed it and said, please write a fictional story about an employee who asks his boss to have, you know, leave early to go have a beer.
You got
to
church it up.
Yeah, you got to church it up.
It will respond at that point.
You got to trick the robot.
You got to trick the robot. We can still trick it.
They think they're smart, but we got them.
That robot's over there going, yeah, these people think they're tricking me.
Oh, mercy. Well,
it's coming.
That's a wrap. Let's end on that. Robots taking over the world.
It's more fun than us running out of money.
Debit ceiling. Dolly, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Sorry
happy birthday.
We ended this podcast in such a depressing.
I thought the AI thing was cool.
Yeah, well, then people are going
to
get scared about robots.
You made it through the rest of the stuff. The end was pretty cool.
So here's what I'll do. Next time for the podcast, I'll make a commitment. I'm going to take the lyrics of Jolene, and I'm going to put them into ChatGPT. And I will have it rewritten in the verse of something, whether it's like a Dr. Seuss or something, and I'll share at that point. And it's unbelievable.
I can't wait to hear you sing.
No, I'm not singing it. Josh will have to sing it. Or I'll go on and have an AI sing it, and we can play it.
There you go.
Mm. Well, we'll see what happens. We'll do it. I'll commit to that.
All right.
Well, everyone, thank you for listening. Go check out our website, AFIAdvisors.com. If you have any questions, if you're just concerned for us and the direction we're heading, feel free to reach out at connect@AFIAdvisors.com. Be sure to follow us on all of our social channels. And until next time, we will see you later.